Welcome to the Mindful Living Podcast. I'm your host, Athea Davis. Are you ready to become the person everyone loves, including yourself? Imagine being filled with purpose, joy, and focused energy every single day. I guide kids to gain their inner calm and adults to spark their inner child. Each week, I will give you fun, practical, and relatable, mindfully infused inspiration, insights, and information that you can directly apply in your life, family, and school or business. So, let's get started. Hey there, and welcome to Mindful Living with me, your host, Athea Davis. You are listening to episode 115, Ignite Your Shine, with my special guest today, LaVonna Roth. I am so excited to introduce you to LaVonna. If you are an educator, this episode is for you. And I love talking about igniting your spark, igniting your shine, all the things that you can do to illuminate from the inside out. And in this episode, LaVonna and I talk about her journey into education, how mindset and SEL, social and emotional learning, impact student achievement, brain-powered learning, and her SHINE framework that fosters it, and a new book project she's working on, and her tips to stay inspired and keep her own mindset strong. You're going to find so many wisdom-filled nuggets here, some sparkly nuggets, some shiny nuggets of wisdom in our conversation. Now, LaVonna Roth is a former elementary and secondary educator, keynote speaker, author, consultant, and mom. She bridges her passion for how the brain learns with education and shows every individual how to shine through their mindset and social emotional well-being so achievement soars for all. She has a bachelor's and two master's degrees taught at the elementary and secondary levels, author of 8 books, about to be 9, and has worked with educators in the U.S. and Canada, Europe, South America, and the Middle East. She is the founder of the Ignite Your Shine framework and creator of Brain-Powered Learning. To elevate educators further, LaVonna teaches educators how to get into educational consulting through her Prime to Shine consulting course and membership site. She will leave you inspired, remembering why you got into education and how to create substantial change in your classroom, district, or organization that is sustainable. She is here to serve you so you can effectively serve your students through the lens of brain research, social emotional needs, and psychological safety. This episode, like I said, is packed with all the things that educators really need to hear, need to be practicing. It is transformative for sure, and I'm excited to introduce you to my guest today, LaVonna Roth. You are listening to episode 115 here on Mindful Living with Athea Davis, Ignite Your Shine. I am so excited for you to listen in, tune in, so you can ignite your shine in the classroom. And I will see you on the flip side. Well, I want to welcome you, LaVonna, to Mindful Living with Athea Davis. Happy to have you on the show today.
It is so great to be on here. Thank you, Athea. Let's do this.
All right. So I want to know, what sparked your journey into education? You have an extensive background. Tell me, what was that spark that got you into education and has kind of led you on your own entrepreneurial journey as well?
Well, it was one that I never planned. But we could probably say that a lot about our lives. It was one that, you know, everyone else seemed to know what they wanted to do. I didn't. And I went to college and started out in psychology and ended up not loving about Pavlov and Freud. Like, okay, give me something I can actually use. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But one path led me to another, and finally, I was actually, to be honest with you, going to be kicked out of college because I did not have the GPA. So it was one of those that during, you know, middle school, my grades started to decline. In high school, if I showed you my report card, you'd see D's and F's. And I don't even know how I got into university, but I did. And I was put on probation. So in desperation, I reached for the university catalog and I thought, you know what? I've had 2 jobs now where I've interacted with people who are deaf and I want to know sign language. So I looked up sign language in the catalog, and in order to take sign language, you had to go into education. So I became a teacher for the deaf. That was my bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
And it ended up being where I also was elementary certified. So I taught in Ohio for 5 years teaching regular ed, actually, but I would use sign language all the time in teaching concepts and with my students and teaching them another language. And then when I moved to Florida, where I now am, I taught here 5 years as well. And I had an opportunity to step out just as I was about to go and be an assistant principal. And someone said to me, you know, LaVonna, if there's anything you ever want to go try it now. Because if you become an administrator in our district and you step out to try something different, you will come back as a teacher. You will not come back as an administrator. And I thought, wow. Mm-hmm. So I stepped out. I ended up working for multiple companies, some amazing experiences where I got to learn more about sales and business development, which at the time I didn't know that that would play such a huge part in where I am today as an entrepreneur, but it did. It was laying this foundation that I was unaware of. And I then worked for companies that were not good. One in particular, I was screamed at and cussed out 1 minute. And then the next minute, they're hugging me and saying, God put you in our life for a reason. We're so blessed to have you.
Crazy.
Extremely toxic environment. And after crying almost every day, I came home one day to my husband and I said, you know what? If they can run a company and treat people like that, then I can run a company and treat people right. And I did not know what that meant, but here we are 13 years later and it's me and now a team and we continue to expand and get bigger and make a bigger impact. So it's been amazing.
That is amazing. I'm so curious, who was this person that said, hey, it's time to do that thing that you've always wanted to do? And why? Why did they say that? Was it just a random thing that they encouraged you to do?
Well, it was a friend of mine had called me and she said, you know, I'm leaving my position for sales and I think you'd be amazing at it. And I'm like, I have no interest in doing sales. Like, nope, love education, don't like that word. And she had reached out to me again. She said, LaVonna, I'm serious. I really think you need to consider this. And so that's when I started exploring and thinking. And then when I was talking to an administrator in the district, they said, you know, and that's when they told me that if you leave, you'll come back as a teacher, but not as an administrator. And that's when I began to understand what the culture was, at least at that time. So I'm grateful because now, you know, all those skill sets come into play with what I do. I just, like I said, I didn't know it.
What do you think they meant by that, that you'd come back as a teacher? What did that say about the culture that you were working in?
A lot. You know, it told me that the words that were said to me is you left us once. So I think, you know, for me, the part of a culture that's important is to allow people to explore, figure out who they are. And if they come back, then that means that they got that a chance to explore who they are, discover new things, but they knew where their home was. Even if it's not a permanent home, they knew where that was. And so, you know, I appreciate it. At the time, I thought, are you kidding me? You know, but yeah, I don't appreciate that kind of a culture, but I appreciate the journey that it has led me on.
Thank you for that. And yeah. What was it about sales that where you thought, no way, not for me? What was your vision of what sales is or at that time that you thought it was?
Yes. And I'm not going to try to put anyone in a box of this, but we all know the terminology of that slimy, sleazy car salesman. But I don't think they're all like that at all. But that's what would come into my head. And I was very much like, nope, I'm not doing sales. I won't sell anything. And even to this day, I have a visceral reaction to the word sell. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself because I had an amazing mentor at one point who said, you know, LaVonna, if you don't have money, you don't have a business. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a business, you can't make an impact. And that was the paradigm shift that I needed. It wasn't about being greedy and about selling to be manipulative and slimy and to get, you know, all that. It was literally, if you want to make an impact, which is what my entire life and goal is about, is how can we serve more people? We change lives. I hear stories of how we save lives. So, you know, to know that that can be so much more for so many more people, that has stuck in my head that you may not like the word sale or like the words to sell. But that's what it is we do. And so, and we sell, we always sell, like all of us. Right. And I now understand this now, you know, and we sell ourselves to have a friend, you know, yes. It doesn't mean it's in a bad manipulative way, but it is, it's who we are. And so there was something that popped in my head I was going to share with you. And if it comes back, I'll say so. But I think, oh, I know what it was. I was at an event and I said, you know, when people ask me what I do, it's one of the hardest questions for me to answer because I'm so deep in the weeds and I see what it all is. And she goes, LaVonna, it's easy. And I said, what? And she goes, you sell confidence. And my mouth dropped because I was like, that's exactly what we do. But wait a minute, I don't like the word sell. So, and she said, I understand you don't, but if you can you think of a different word? And I was throwing some out there and she's like, nope, nothing is as powerful as the fact that you sell confidence. So, but she nailed
it. I love that. Yeah, I love it. So tell me more about how mindset or how does mindset and social emotional learning impact achievement? Because you're selling confidence in essence, and we're going to talk about your SHINE framework soon, but I'm pretty sure it has something to do with mindset. And that's a term that I'm intimately familiar with. I talk about it all the time on the podcast, teach my students about it, try to practice it a lot. How does it impact achievement in any way? So we can look at it as in the classroom, someone listening and they're wanting to achieve whatever goal that they're working on. What is it about mindset that they need to get right to help them in that direction?
Yeah, so it's interesting how much mindset plays into this. Like a lot of times we think it may not be a big deal, but those of us that as we've learned and you know, dug into the research and found more about it, mindset to me is the make it or break it, right? It's the key to everything. So Henry Ford was not wrong when he said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're mm-hmm. right. And that has stuck with me the more that I've gotten into neuroscience, neuropsychology. So it's funny, I've looped back to the psychology that I started and resisted. But now I see practicality and the application of it is that I know that I often share in my keynotes, for example, or in workshops that we do, that your brain believes what you tell it.
Yep.
You know, so your brain believes what you tell it. And so if knowing that, that means that the more I say that I can do something or the more I say can't do something, I'm already planting the seeds.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that, you know, we hear with fixed mindset and growth mindset from Carol Dweck, we hear, you know, if somebody says, well, I can't do this. Okay, sounds good. But we hear, you know, all you have to do is add the 3-letter powerful word to the end of that. And that is the word yet. So it's, yeah. I can't do this yet. However, what I hope people begin to understand, because this leads into the achievement aspect, is that it's not just about saying the word yet. It's about breaking through years and years of a belief that you have within your brain, a synapse that when one neuron communicates to another neuron and it's this super strong connection, we immediately go into default automatically to, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So we have to break through the I can't do this yet in order for it to be more powerful. And I love doing an activity with students and with educators to help break through that. And so that's going to be the biggest part is I can't do this yet. But the piece I don't want to forget to say is that the reason the word yet is so powerful is because when you say I can't do this, the brain has made up the mind, I can't do it. But when you hear yet, it is that hope and possibility. And that's what our brain needs to hear is just that little bit of, okay, maybe it's just not yet, maybe it's just not now, whatever the terminology is.
Yes, I love it. You're speaking my language. You know, we have so many limiting beliefs that come from, you know, our family of origin, the culture in which we were raised, that we're navigating through many times that we're not aware. And we have these automatic things that we say, I can't. You know, I've been a practitioner for many years, a practitioner of mindfulness, yoga practices, mindset, et cetera. I constantly find myself in situations where I'm pushing my edge and I catch myself saying I can't. And when I teach my students and we are learning about growth mindset and the power of positive self-talk and how, you know, that kind of self-talk forms the basis of our beliefs and our beliefs, you know, fuel the actions and those actions really become our reality. You know, it's a practice. It's a process. I'm so curious what you do and what you teach others to do to break through that static, to catch that loop where you say, I can't do that. And you're like, wait a minute, I just said that thing. What do you inform others to do? What kind of practices do you teach them?
Yeah, so self-awareness is going to be the first part. You know, I think I'm a pretty positive person. Others say you're so positive. But for fun one day, I was like, you know what, let's just kind of track my thoughts. So I did. I recorded as much as I could, grabbing the different things I was saying. And at the end of the day, I was like, oh my goodness, like a lot of positive thoughts. But mm-hmm. when I did look at the negative I was having, they were all about me. So I was okay with being positive about everybody else, but I had negative language, negative self-talk to me. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went, wow. So when we do things such as, you know, and my daughter has caught me before, and I love this, but I have said things like, I'll mess up something like in the kitchen. And I said, I'm so stupid. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Mom. And I was like, what? And she goes, are you so stupid? And I said, no, just what I did was stupid. But you're right. I'm not stupid. I'm not. You know, but what I did was stupid. And not that it necessarily was stupid, because again, we're humans, you know, and this is the biggest thing that I think everyone is another strategy to go back to, is we are humans and humans make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So it's not about the mistake. It's what we do with the mistake. So if we can remind ourselves that as we do these things that we don't mean to do, or we have a self-talk, or I love what you just said, Athea, about, you know, our actions and how we give them power, our words, we give them power. So raising an awareness about that is going to be a key first. Mm-hmm. But the other activity I'll do, and we do this a lot, it's so fun, but you know, any educators listening can do this with students. And I will, before I say this, put a little clause in there that you have to make sure the student is willing to do this in front of a group. And if they're not willing to do it in front of a group, then you can do it like in the hallway with just with them. Mm-hmm. But you have them, if you catch them and say, I can't do this. Right. So as the educator, I would say, okay, share with me what your challenge is. And so we go through what it is and I reteach it. And then I would say to that student, let me hear you say, I can't do this yet. And so they say it. Mm-hmm. Sounds like, okay, we got it. Good. We've learned it. Nope. It has to be more powerful, because again, the synapse is so strong after years in the brain if I can't do this. So then I ask them to say, I can't do this yet, two times, just really stress the word yet. So they do. And this often is in front of a class, or we do them like student assemblies. You know, it's done kind of publicly, but it doesn't have to be. I don't want the kid to be humiliated. It's always someone who's willing to do this too. So then once we do that, then I say, you know what? One of my favorite places is Disney World. And the reason I love Disney World is because of two main characters. It's Mickey and Minnie Mouse. But it's actually not them. It's their voices that I love. And usually about this point, kids will, or even adults will suddenly get this dawning of no. I'm like, so I was thinking, I would love to hear two times in your best Mickey or Minnie Mouse voice. It doesn't matter to me which one. I want to hear you say, I can't do this yet. Two times. That's it. You can choose Mickey, Minnie. So at this point, I'm setting the stage to be comfortable, to let give them a moment to adjust. I mock it with like way up there, you know, and so they'll do it. And then I'll do things like, okay, let's try a deep Southern Texas drawl. And really like one syllable is going to be three syllables, and feel free to throw any y'all. Mm-hmm. So they do that. And the point to them is that let's have a little bit of fun with this, because the way we're doing it, the brain's paying attention, more likely to remember it. It's novelty. Yet I might see them in the hall later and say, what was that phrase we're working on? I can't, what's that phrase again? They're like, I can't do this yet. And then I might say, then I might see you tomorrow and hear any voice you want, totally up to you. I don't care, five times in that voice. And I want it to the point that they're literally like, seriously, how many times do I have to do this? Because we're starting to break through. So here's my goal. The next time they're sitting there and they're thinking, I can't do this, I want it to go, I can't do this yet. My teacher brainwashed me. Yes, for the positive.
I love it. I love that you add the voices to make it fun and have that element of novelty. So true. Our brains love those new experiences and we'll remember them more during those times. I don't think I've used the voices yet. So that will be something I'll pick up and put that tool in my toolbox. So thank you for sharing. Is this the essence of what you refer to as brain powered learning? And I'd like to really dig into your SHINE framework and to go step by step of which each of the principles are within your acronym SHINE. But I guess it's a two-part question. Is this the essence of brain-powered learning? Maybe let's dive into that part first. Is it? What is it? And then we'll get into the SHINE framework. So
yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm glad that you recognize they're kind of separate, although they all come together eventually. Mm-hmm. But the process was, I had started because I got so interested in the brain. I had started learning so much about it, attending neuroscience conferences, ended up presenting internationally with neuroscientists. And
what led you into that? Like, how was it just like a natural organic thing, or what happened there from sales to neuroscience?
I know. They sound total opposite, right? So I was really curious as to why things worked in my classroom and why things didn't. Mm. And I had been recognized for several things at the school, county, and state level for teaching But the particular turning point for me was when I was became a mentor teacher for the state of Florida. And I remember thinking, I don't know how to mentor you. Like, what does that even mean? Because you're doing exactly what I do, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't recognize what I was doing well. So when I stepped away and then started coming back towards education, because that's what happened, is I thought I'm too far removed from teachers and kids. And I thought, you know what, I'd love to know about the brain. And what ended up happening is I dove so deep into it. And I kept thinking, why do we as educators not know this? We teach the brain every single day, mm-hmm. but we don't have this. And so that sent me on the mission to start diving into how does the brain learn. And I was presenting on it. And I had a publisher come to me and say, you know what, you really should write a book. And I was like, oh, no. I have no interest in writing a book. Well, they wore me down, taking, you know, everything that I've been talking about. And so it's 8 books later with it. But along the way, I just got so immersed. And I began to think, oh, my goodness, everything we do really comes from our brain. You know, mm-hmm. it drives everything. And so understanding the power of it. So there's where brain powered learning came from it. And so like my book is Brain Powered Strategies to Engage All Learners. The other ones are Brain Powered Lessons to Engage All Learners. And it was just a support system to help teachers in a way that aligned with how the brain was, pulling in so much of what they do with formative assessments, differentiation, making sure it's engaging, and so much more. And I just wanted to pull it into a place that was easy for teachers, cheap for them, but yet so powerful because it was student owned thinking. And handling yes. that. So that's how it all came about. But what ended up happening was that I had to back up, because what I realized was, why are we not seeing quite the results we should see? Like, it should be at a better and a higher achievement level, because it couldn't be more aligned and pulling so much in. And it hit me. I went, wait a minute, the brain can't learn if the brain is not in a state of learning. So I backed up and went, we have to first set the culture, the language, the philosophy in the classroom, establishing that relationships so that we get the brain into a state of learning so that now they can learn. And that's when Ignite Your Shine was born, was to back up to get that first.
Got it. And let's dive into that. So what do we need to do to get the brain into a state of learning? Is this where the Shine framework comes in? Yeah.
Yes, okay. It's definitely, yes, it's a huge part of it. So SHINE is the actual framework. It's the acronym. So it's the framework. So S is self. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with all your strengths, gifts, skills, and talents? So if we look at some of the CASEL research, which I didn't look at until about 6 months ago, but began to realize how aligned this was with self-awareness was one of them, you know, and so, but it's also social awareness because we're looking at other people's strengths too. And so under self, not only is it strengths, gifts, skills, and talents, some of the things you're born with, some of that you develop, but it's also mindset and self-care. So it's anything that has to do with the self. It can be words, it can be beliefs, things we already talked about. Mm-hmm. It's a huge chunk of it. But when we get to H, H is heart. And what mm-hmm. we're really talking about is passion. So now we're diving deep into what is it that is you are passionate about? What puts you in the flow of learning? Or time passes so fast that you don't even realize it because you are loving what you're doing. What fills you up? What drains your energy? So we dig into some of those passions, and then it's really the S and the H together that actually create what we call the shine spot. And that is when you are living in both. You've learned how to take the strengths and the takes with the passions and put them together. So as educators, it's important to, are you utilizing your strengths? And if you are, which I'm assuming you are, mm-hmm. I also asked, stop the comparison game. And what I mean by that is it's so easy to look around at the teacher who has the most beautiful bulletin boards in the entire world, right? We have the person over here who can handle every situation with any student. They over there have the most engaging lessons. They over there, they can handle, like, they know how to operate every technology tool. We do all these mirroring, and we sit there and look and go, you know what, I'm not as good, and I'm not good enough, and how come I'm not best at that? And what we're forgetting is what we call the lion of greatness that you are. So it's that shine spot of bringing those strengths and those passions and really living in where you are, and then allowing others, when you build that community together, that culture together, then you allow each other to shine, and you are unstoppable, because it's not about what you can't do, but focusing on what you can do and how you bring it together. It's no different in the classroom. It's no different with getting kids to understand and to have such a high level of respect. Like, I'm telling you, one year I teach a 6th grade geography, and it wasn't called Shine at the time, because I wasn't even to that point yet. Mm-hmm. And we did this whole activity, and I had kids raise their hands on, you know, if you're great at this, raise your hand. If you're great at this, raise your hand. And just kept asking all these questions. And then I said, put your hands down. I want you to raise your hand if on every question I asked, your hand went up before, and not one hand went up. And I said, you see the beauty of this is not one of us is great at everything. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how if I can't draw, or I am not doing very well at drawing, we talked about can't, right? But I'm not doing good at drawing. Who in here is good at drawing that could help? And if you're not good at music, how could someone help with that? Or if you're not good at organizing, who's great at that? And it was the most unbelievable year I've ever had. And so S again was self, H mm-hmm. is heart, it's passion, but I don't want to call it spine. You know, you can't say spine. So yeah. It's shine. And then we get to I is inspire. So mm-hmm. we have this great package about us, but life's going to throw curveballs. So how do you stay inspired? How do you inspire others? N is navigate. What are you gonna do with everything I just talked about? Mm-hmm. Goal setting, story, journey. Like it's the action step. It's putting it into action. And then E is exceptional, because you're becoming the exceptional person you were meant to be, not anybody else, who you were meant to be. And that's ignite your shine.
Yeah, I love it. Let's kind of talk about a little bit about how does this look in practice? So do you go out and do trainings at schools? Do they, is there a specific curriculum that's used? What does it look like in practice?
Okay, so we love to kick it off with a keynote when it's possible, whether it's school-wide, district-wide, we do all of it. But we'd love to kick it off so that everybody's on the same like base and same mm-hmm. concept. And when I say that, I mean everybody. I'm talking bus drivers, we're talking paraprofessionals, office staff. Everybody plays a huge part in a culture of a school. But oftentimes the people who can make some of the biggest impacts aren't the ones that actually trained. So mm-hmm. we love to kick it off with everybody, just so that, you know, it helps. Because even though I designed this for kids, like for students, it's amazing how many people said to me, LaVonna, you have no idea how badly I needed that. And that's when I went, oh my goodness, this is a human thing. This isn't just about students. It's us as adults need that too. So we kick it off with that. And then at that point, we dive into lessons. So Shine is a framework. It's not a program, because a program is scripted. Usually a program step by step. Here's how you do it. That's not what we do. Mm-hmm. We do have lessons that we want to dig into, because those lessons then guide you with creating some of that culture and that language and that commonality that everyone kind of has in common. But then the kids, we see the kids adopting this. Right. And as they adopt it, they run with it, right? They own it, and the classroom is completely transformed. So we love to take educators through the lessons. They're totally for free on our website, but we take them through that. And then we also have an entire speaker team that is trained with student assemblies, parent workshops, coaching teachers. So what does this look like? Where are the challenges that you're having? Share evidence with us, you know, or if you're having a challenge with, you know, this particular piece, this teacher over here is doing great, you two should connect. And so we really facilitate all the way through. So the first year of being Ignite Your Shine is the best. And then once we've done that, year two, for example, could be about brain-powered learning. What does that look like as far as instruction?
Got it. So you're kind of there also coaching along the way what's happening at the school and the classroom. I'm so curious in terms of culture, because that can be, you know, there's so many factors that come into play to create a positive, healthy culture in the classroom, in the school. And so I appreciate that you acknowledge the fact that you want, you know, if you have the opportunity, getting everybody on board, you know, kicking it off with a keynote. What are some of the challenges that you've faced to really establish that sort of foundational base to set the tone so you can create the culture from a strong foundation? What are some challenges, and how have you worked through them?
So one of the challenges is that people often see the two as silos. Mm-hmm. Right. So I have to teach my content, and there's already a huge amount to teach in such a little amount of time. And now you want me to add in social emotional learning. Mm-hmm. The two don't have to be separate. And so that's one of the favorite things when we're going from Shine into brain powered learning is to start to implement the two. And we had these conversations before, but it doesn't have to be separate. You know, so that's one of the biggest challenges, is overcoming that. Another challenge I would say is that it's the level of empathy, or sometimes lack thereof, that people have. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the approach can be, well, you know what? I've been through a lot in my life too. So I got through it just fine. So you just need to suck it up, buttercup. Well, everybody's different. And just because you have gone through challenging times doesn't mean the other person handles it. And it was even a similar situation. You know, so maybe you had a support system. Yes, it was challenging for you to go through that moment, but you had a support system. And maybe the person going through a very similar situation like you doesn't have a support system. Right. So there's so much, it's developing that empathy. And so we do several activities to have that, but it's coming through the lens and the eyes of the other person. And we hear that often, but it's a matter of, are you willing to do that? Or are you going to resist it? So I would say those are probably the two biggest things that we face, aside from the fact that schedules can be, you know, like we want the deep work, we want the ongoing work, but, you know, schools, as far as time goes, it's oftentimes has to be a faculty meeting or PLCs, or sometimes, you know, staff will be willing to come in on a Saturday and then we can do deeper work.
Yes, the time always is that factor, right? Yes. I'm so curious, in the classroom, what does it practically look like when you're practicing the SHINE framework, getting your students ready for learning? Could you walk us through perhaps just a beginning of the day? And we, you know, here we are, students are coming in and, you know, I've just learned this SHINE framework. What's one of the first things that I would do to make sure that I'm, you know, being with in fidelity with trying to practice this framework in my class?
I love that you bring this up, because a lot of times what I'm finding, so it could be another challenge, is sometimes that I'm finding is that teachers say, well, I'm doing SEL because I'm at the door and I high five them as they come in. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a great start, right? We're building relationships and all of that, but that's not really getting into the work of understanding where kids are coming from and the stories that they enter our classroom with.
Right.
So Thea, I think what you do is a great opportunity, a great start, is whether it's breathing, whether it's having them do yoga. Mm-hmm. I think that should be a part of every school day. And, you know, when people say, well, we've got so much to accomplish, so much we do, we don't have time.
Yeah.
You don't have time to not do it.
That's
right.
True.
I'll be honest. You don't have time to not do it, because if you don't get that brain, however the students are coming in, whether it was a fight at home with someone, or they think their best friend is upset with them, or their boyfriend just broke up with them, all the million things that could be going on, you're allowing the brain to transition to, hey, you're here. You're here with us. We're here to support you. Mm-hmm. We're in this together. Our goal is to watch everyone achieve wherever they are, watch them grow and support them. And so the moment we start doing things, whether it's the breathing and we have them do yoga and stretch, whatever that may be, that's one aspect, but also having those conversations, you know, sitting in a circle and having conversation, how's your day? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling? Or hold up sticks with smiley faces and frowny faces. You know, and creating the opportunity to, if something you're going through and you need the first 5 minutes to have some time for yourself because you haven't had it, the kids are home taking care of siblings while their parents work 3 jobs. Whatever that moment is, you just say, may I have 5 minutes? And we learn to respect that. But we have to understand we're dealing with humans. We're not dealing with kids that sit robotic in seats doing worksheets or sitting all day long, not communicating with each other. We are extremely social creatures.
Right.
It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, very close to the bottom is love and belonging. And that is because it's a survival technique. Like, the brain cares about one thing, and that is survive to thrive. That is all it cares about. Well, part of that survival is knowing that I belong. So creating those opportunities, like our lessons are great for this, facilitate the discussion and to have these conversations. Like one of the lessons is, we came up with light sources. So this is not like a third party personality test or anything like that. I sat with teachers and we said, okay, there's 4 light sources. So that we're going to identify. So we have a fire, we have lighthouse, we have a traffic light, and we have, we think fire, lighthouse, traffic light, and the sun. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we thought, okay, if it's a sun, the sun is what? And we said, oh, that's like friendly. It's compassionate. It's a listener. And we just totally made up these lists for each of them. But what students do is they take a short little quiz and they find out which light source they are. Now, in all reality, they're all 4, right? We all are.
Yeah.
But there's one dominant that tends to show up. And so what we do is put them into groups then, and they have these conversations of, well, oh, you're a great listener, so am I. you're compassionate. Well, I'm compassionate, but I could work on it. You know, yeah. So they find out what they have in common, but then the next step is the lesson veers them into an activity that allows them to see differences between each other. And so what it allows is to embrace that, hey, you know what? Others are like me too, but we also have differences. And my favorite is when you have two students, for example, in a conflict and you bring them together and they're, you know, upset with each other. They don't see any similarities. But instead to say, you know what, I got to thinking, how about you two share what light source you are? And then when they share that, say, so what are some things that you would have in common? What would be some of the differences? And you just get them talking about something different. And at some point, because you facilitated it to find a similarity, they'll find a similarity.
Yeah.
And then what's really cool is like, I love video games. Oh my gosh, I love video games too. Oh, what do you play? I play. They've already forgot about the conflict.
I love it. You know, it really takes this understanding how science is done, which serves its purpose when we break things down in these disparate parts and we're trying to find meaning and disconnect everything, but we're not like integrating the things back together. And we see that a lot in the classroom. And I love the approach where we're looking at, okay, how are we getting the brain ready to learn so we can actually learn? If anybody out there listening knows you have kids, you're teaching, you're a parent, you work with kids in any way, or you yourself know, if you are upset, you're not reading something and taking the information in. You're reading it. And then if someone were to ask you, what did you just read? You would have no idea. You know, I've been in that place many times, whether it's from I'm distracted because something happened and I'm not, you know, I haven't acknowledged it or worked through that process in a way, or I also have this really tough emotion and it's really hard to focus on, to be in a cognitive, you know, cognitively focused place. And so we've got to have something for our kid. I mean, I think we owe that. That's what we do in education.
Yes.
That, you know, because I know a lot of questions come up like, well, how much should a school provide for our kids as they come in? Like, where do we draw the line? Well, we teach kids. We are there to teach. And how do we teach? And I think you're right. I'm so happy to see this framework and more conversations coming out, especially within the past year, within the pandemic, and more of an emphasis on social and emotional learning, how the two are connected, that without understanding, you know, our mental and emotional, you know, regulation, whether it's dysregulated, regulated, and how that connects and impacts to, you know, the content that we're learning and retaining. I mean, we owe that. We want productive, you know, members of society out doing amazing things. And so of course we want to teach them about how our brain learns. I remember going through that process too of learning, you know, about the brain and how it works. And it's one of my favorite things that my students love to learn about is how all of that works on the inside. And what happens when we're not learning, and it provides us with so much, I guess, meaning to understand like, oh, like there's nothing wrong with me. There's actually something happening chemically in my brain. And that's why I'm not able to focus. And there are tools to help get me back on track.
Oh, so you preaching, yes, preach, preach, preach. I am cheering you on with all of this. I love that you teach this to students because this is such powerful information for them and parents too. You know, and when we're stressed out or we have something going on in our life, the blood flow is not all over the brain. It literally backs out from the frontal lobe. So like right behind the forehead, if you're not familiar with the brain, so right behind the forehead, and what ends up happening is that's where you do all of your critical thinking, your judging, decision-making, planning, emotional control. So when we think about, it's called executive function, we think about all those functions that go underneath that, the blood flow backs out and goes into basically emotional survival mode. And here's the crazy thing is that our brain cannot be in a state of thinking and in a state of emotion or survival at the same time. Mm. So the moment we feel like when our students walk into the classroom, if we're thinking, okay, they're stressed up, breathe, okay, move on, let's go. it's not quite that simple. It can take a while for the brain to get back into its flow and activity to truly feel safe. You know, and deep in the brain, we've got the amygdala, and the amygdala fascinate me because they literally are always on alert. Like, they're aware of the AC turning on, they're aware of the door that just closed, the person who walked by, and things that we don't even recognize, but the amygdala does. And when those are on alert, zero zilch zip learning occurs. So the more that, like you said, the more that SEL is being brought to the forefront, like, I'm like, finally, because people used to say, oh, you do the fluff stuff.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Oh. Yes, we don't need that. That's the fluff stuff. And I'm like,
wow, I'm so happy the conversation is changing around that, because I haven't done some official meta analysis of this, but I have heard a lot of people talk and share their stories, either through me interviewing them directly or hearing them being interviewed, or just through connections in the work that I do and being in conversation, that anybody on a path to reach their goal or to reach success in the way that they define success, they rely on mindset. They rely on quote unquote soft skills, these soft skills that we're talking about, which in fact are the main skills. How can we do what we're really, you know, meant to do in whatever we will be guided to do in our work, whether you're going to be a teacher or attorney or doctor or whatever the thing is you want to do in life, without having this foundational education as a starting point, you know, because we're going to face challenge. That's life. Challenge is always going to come our way. And we have to have the tools to be able to navigate that. Like, I think we're really missing out if we're not teaching our students, teaching our kids, you know, looping in the parents and also being in that relationship to understanding that, you know, our mind is so incredibly powerful that we all have, you know, we have different variations of intelligence just based on our own constitution. And that, be that as it may, we also have the opportunity to grow our mind as strong and bright as we want, right? Like, regardless of, you know, the things we were blessed with on the inside and, you know, genes, et cetera, all of that, you know, someone may be smarter at math than I am, and that's their constitution and not mine. And mine may be more with words, et cetera. And if I want to learn something like math, that I may have to put more time into it, but I can still learn it. I might not be exactly as talented as someone else, but the fact is, if I adopt the mindset and talk to myself in a way that says, I can do this, I believe in myself, I can't, you know, I can't do this yet, what you can accomplish. I mean, I've seen students be able to do it. I've seen and had my own experiences. And I'm so curious, like, in your entrepreneurial experience, how has mindset played in your own success and path as you've navigated all these different changes? I mean, certainly, you know, I often tell students and people, like, your negative self-talk isn't just going to go away. Unfortunately, we can't just say, c'est la vie, and it's gone forever. That's not the case. It's always this, like, you know, little thorny friend in our side that likes to remind us of what, you know, it is, you know, we have the power to choose and what to say to ourselves. So back to the question, how has mindset really helped you along your journey?
It's been it's been the game changer, you know. And I would be lying if I said that I've mastered it, because I haven't.
Yeah.
It's a constant, you know, I actually, on the other side of my wall, I'm looking at it right now, I have a massive picture of a lion, and it's really close up, and it's beautiful. But it's to remind you, as I said earlier, we call ourselves lions of greatness, or lioness of greatness, if you want to say that. Mm-hmm. But it is literally there, and he's looking right at me the way his eyes are. And that's to remind me that I am a lion of greatness. Mm. So in those moments where I have that self-doubt or that confidence drops, it's to remind me to keep going. So that's one of the strategies I use. Another one is
writing it out, like writing that affirming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then reminds me of a quote Jim Rohn said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah.
That would be the second, I would say, a strategy that, of a mindset that has helped me, is that when I'm having those moments to reach out to people on my team or my husband, my cheerleaders, mm-hmm. and to say, all right, having one of those moments, you know, we don't call them bad days or tough days at Ignite Your Shine. We call them moments. And so that's the language we use, is that I'm having a moment. Because if you write off the whole day, that's exactly what you just did. You forgot to look for the positives in the day. We let that one moment overpower and we say it was a bad day or a tough day.
Yeah.
So instead, it's people who will hold me accountable in my thinking with those moments or those dips where I'm just not feeling, or I'm wondering, why am I doing this? Or, okay, I feel like everything is happening right now and going sideways, and that's not what I want. And it's to remind us that why of what we do. And so I think it's so powerful to have others around us. And I also want to go back, you said the soft skills, and, you know, it's funny, just again, the things that we are as human can be considered almost fluff. So it's a soft skill. And as you said, it's super important. We call them necessary skills, because it's really what is helps you to be successful in life, is those so-called soft skills are really what carry you through. And there have been employers that have changed their tune now, and they're saying, you know what, I can teach you what you need to know, but I can't teach you those soft skills. Like, I need you coming to the table to having those already. So to me, that's why I think they're necessary skills, not just the soft skills. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
Definitely. And I think we're headed in a direction. And I would love to hear your insight on this. I feel like we're headed into a direction just based on the nature of the world, the nature of our economy, that we're educating kids for jobs that don't exist. So what skills are they going to need? Well, these are the skills, you know, as I was saying earlier, any profession, anybody that's met success, you hear a pattern over and over again. What got you there? Well, because I believed I could do it. I told myself I could do it. It was my mindset. I struggled and I said, you know what? The struggle is going to make me stronger. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get through it. The affirmation, the mantra, you know, you hear that same thing over and over again in multiple success stories across all cultures, all genders, all races, all professions. That being said, we're in this market where technology is increasing. We've seen such a heavy reliance on technology within the pandemic. And I do think, you know, a couple things in that. There's so much happening, it's hard for our brain to adapt. And there's that possibility where the increase in like overwhelm and negative self-talk occurs because it seems like too much for our system to handle. And without having some tool to use and say, all right, this is hard and I can still do X, Y, and Z. And I, like you said, how some companies are going to require you to, they're looking for people like that. It may not be in a job description, but that's what they want to hear when they are talking to you for an interview, that you have a really strong growth mindset. And I would love to hear your insight on this, it being like the skill of the future.
It is, because it goes back to whether you think you can or you can't. You know, so when you have that mindset, it's, you begin to find a way, like, okay, maybe I just need to talk to somebody to learn it. Maybe I need to read something. Maybe I need to listen to a podcast. Maybe I need to research it and look at articles. And so when you have that, then you begin to develop these skills. So it doesn't matter what comes forward, that unknown that we don't know at this point, because we are developing so fast, especially with technology. And so the more things come out, it's can I figure out how to problem solve? Can I look at it from different perspectives? And so developing that skill set to me is huge to help in us innovating and being agile as we go through the variety of things that are going to still come our way. And so one of the things that you had said was, when we talk about, again, that negative self-talk and whatever comes our way, I think part of that success is going to come from the fact that we have to second guess some of the thoughts that we have. You know, so that mindset that's going to power us through is second guess some of the things. So like, I could even go back to when my daughter called me out on saying, I'm so stupid, mm-hmm. right? It's questioning myself. And this to me is another key to that achievement and being successful, is to say, is that true? Mm-hmm. And in the moment, you know, when your emotion's high and you're not thinking necessarily the top level either, it's easy at times to go, yes, it's true. I am stupid. Because you're frustrated, you're upset with yourself. But then my next part to me is that I ask, and is it 100% true? Like, is this always true? Mm-hmm. And the moment I phrase it that way, I know it's not, because now I'm going that, no, it's not 100%. Like, occasionally I do something stupid, yes, but I am not actually stupid, because I know it's not a fact 100% of the time. And so the more we can revisit this, and as new things come our way and things are developed that we don't know, but the more we go back to the mindset and begin to understand that we can do this, and even the fact that if it's not me, someone else can figure it out. So why can't it be me to figure it out?
Yeah.
Who do I have around me to make it be that support system? So if it's not me, then who? Or if it's not somebody else, why can't it be me? Does that make sense?
It does. What are you seeing from the schools and the teachers and the students that are using your SHINE framework? What kind of feedback are you getting?
Oh, you want to make me cry, don't you?
I mean, I love good cry time. I mean, it's so healing.
It is. We have things that I have a teacher in particular who it has been life-changing for her, and she says it literally has saved her life. Mm-hmm. She was actually hospitalized at one point, and she for mental health, and she continued to message me, and we have these bracelets, and it's made out of a bicycle spoke, and so it's wrapped into the shape of a light bulb. It's handmade by a gentleman out of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And the way you wear it matters. So it's shaped into a light bulb, and then it wraps five times at the end, so it's SHINE. But the way you wear it, like I said, matters. So if you have it facing out away from you and facing others, it reminds you, it's telling everybody else that they shine, and you feel great in that moment. You don't need it. But in those moments, right, you take it off, you turn it around, and you have the light bulb facing you to remind you that you shine. Mm-hmm. And in the hospital, while she was going through all of this, this was that moment that she took it off and she had it shining towards her. That's an example.
Wow.
I've had so many say that, it's been incredible to go through this journey and to remind myself that I do have a greatness, especially going through COVID. Mm-hmm. And feeling like, isolated, feeling lost. Talk about technology, learning to teach through a platform and seeing into students' homes that we don't always love to see. Mm-hmm. What they go through, but it's the reality and it's enlightening,
Yeah.
And then I would also say there's a particular school in New York that I went to, and one of the young men in there, he had horrible attendance in school, horrible. And they started doing SHINE in the classroom, and the teacher said to him one day, sat down and said, "Your attendance has improved. What's happened?" And he said, "Well, because of SHINE," he said, "I've learned that there's a reason to live and a purpose in life. And so here to do that." And that was a fourth grader.
Yes, you're going to, I'm tearing up. Gosh, you are not kidding. That's really super impactful. And how amazing that, you have this framework that meant something to, or means something to so many people, and it's saving them from the edge, a fourth grader. I think, Levana, we are facing a mental health crisis in schools. I haven't done a lot of research on it, but I do know from my experiential, from my own experience, from many conversations, there's no way we can't. Like, from what I've seen, the conversations I've had with parents, with students, I don't know what it's like in the schools that you visit. I do know what it's like here. And there's a lot going on, and there's a lot that we haven't acknowledged. There's a lot that is getting, to our students, but there's still more that needs to be done. There's still more that needs to be done for our educators, because they're not really getting the attention, the help that they need for being whole in the classroom. And there's just a lot of trauma really that has come up in this pandemic within the school system. So having this type of framework, I think, will definitely be beneficial to many schools that can connect with you on this.
Well, I really hope so. Like I said, we have seen the impact, and that's been amazing. And again, I want to reiterate what you just said, Athea, because I think it's of high value that, one, we just went through a very traumatic thing, all of us, varying degrees, experienced different things in a pandemic. But we all went through that. So not only are educators being asked to support their students and what they have gone through, but teachers themselves, administrators themselves have gone through trauma themselves.
Yep.
So it's a piece that it's going to be a very delicate situation, I think, as we go forward, and just taking that time that I was already before this preaching, like, you know, yes, it's great to have the academics. It's important. But are we teaching our kids how to be humans who respect each other and to create that culture of, you know, love and coming together as a community and letting that impact beyond the school walls and watching what happens? But now we had educators who came with trauma before.
Yeah.
Now it's this huge other different level. And I've been hearing from psychologists that we have no clue even the psychological impact that we are going to see that comes from this. So the more schools embed at socio-emotional learning in there, and they're putting these practices in, like what you do with Thea, you know, all of that, we are at least giving them the hope and the foundation of the best that we can do.
Yes, no doubt. One thing I want to ask you before we wind down and do a little rapid fire, Levana, is what do you do to stay inspired to keep your mindset strong? Are there certain practices that you like to do? You know, because as much as we, you know, practice and believe in the work, you know, the tank can run low sometimes. So where do you go and what do you do to stay inspired?
So nature is my therapy.
I've talked to you recently have talked about nature. So I have to point that out, because I was just doing another interview today and we were talking about nature, and I've had people on the podcast before that, like, I wouldn't say professional hikers, but, or maybe so, like a lot of their work is within wilderness therapy. So nature's big. So I love that you said nature, as a nature lover myself.
Absolutely. It took me a long time to figure that out. I guess I was aware of it, but didn't really know. And then, so my favorite, and I do this multiple times during the week, is I go out on my walk, but I walk along water because water also calms me. Mm. So I walk, you know, along the water, and I listen to podcasts or I listen to books because I love to learn. Mm-hmm. So finding the time to do both can be challenging, but when I put them together, then it's a win-win. Yeah. And so my favorite days, and I tend to only do them on Friday, but my favorite days is I go on my walk, and when I get to a certain point, I grab a coffee, I sit in a chair, and I meditate / it's hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And so I take that calming moment, and then with my coffee, I walk back, but I'm listening to all the things that uplift me, the things that I want to learn about. And I also do work out where I go to a gym and have the hard cardio and the weights and all that too. And all of that is what really helps me to stay inspired. And then again, I'll go back to, I surround myself with people, not that everybody is inspiring all the time, but I surround myself with the people who can give the support that I need and me give them the support that they need.
I love that. I was just visualizing being able to walk somewhere and grab a coffee. And, you know, just sometimes we think like, these simple moments aren't going to make a big difference, but they really do. You know, the moments that we can put aside and say, I'm going to savor this cup of tea or cup of coffee. I'm going to savor the walk, whatever it is, to make sure that I'm filling my soul tank up so I can keep doing whatever work it is that those are doing out there. So thank you for sharing that. Okay, Levana, we're going to do rapid fire. So in rapid fire, I asked just four big life questions. And no pressure, just a lot of fun. So whatever word or phrase comes to your mind, that's your answer.
Okay.
All right. So first rapid fire question is, what do you believe?
In humans.
What are you grateful for?
The ability to recognize that we are human.
What sustains you?
Hope.
And you are on Mindful Living with Athea Davis, so I love to ask all my guests on the show, what does mindful living mean to you?
Stepping into a life that you only get once and owning it in a way that supports you, but also supports those around you. But I'm going to go back to also supports you, because so many times we're concerned about everybody else.
I love that. Okay. I want people to connect with you. And so please share where they can connect with you online and social media. Yes. And your books and anything that you want to mention.
Books, I would go to Amazon. It's the cheapest. Just go there.
Okay.
The best way. So I'm on all social media platforms, and it is at Levana Roth. So I'll spell that because I know I have an unusual name. It's LA capital V as in Victor, O-N-N-A, Roth is R-O-T-H. So on all platforms at Lavana Roth. We're also at Ignite Your Shine. So Ignite Your Shine, although on Instagram, we had to go with at Ignite Your Shine Now. So there's that. And again, that's on all social media platforms. And you can visit our website, igniteyourshine.com. And if you go into the learning library at igniteyourshine.com, you will see the lessons plus other things that we offer as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Lavana, for being on the show today. Love the work that you're up to. Definitely connect with Lavana if you are ready to bring some shine to your school and to your campus.
Athea, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for making a huge difference because you are providing podcasts where people can learn so much, get so much value. And I know it takes a lot of time for you, a lot of effort. So I want to honor you and thank you.
Thank you. Hey there, and welcome back to the other side of my chat with my special guest today, Lavana Roth. You have been listening to episode 115 here on Mindful Living with Athea Davis, Ignite Your Shine. Make sure to connect to Lavana Roth and all the great things she's up to and what she can offer you and your school as we navigate such an incredibly challenging time. Still within the pandemic and even post-pandemic, whenever you're listening to this episode, we are still drudging through this 2 years of altered teaching, living, being, all the things that we are becoming, we're adapting to, trying to gain some resilience and work through some challenging times in our history of the world together. And so I can't think of a better way to add a breath of fresh air into what we're doing in the classroom than to ignite your shine through Lavana's framework, because brain powered learning is key to academic achievement and lifelong success. And as we navigate such a distracting time, her work is needed now more than ever. If you enjoyed this conversation, do me a favor, take a screenshot and share it out on Instagram, Facebook, whatever your favorite platform is. LinkedIn, Twitter, take a screenshot, share it, tag Lavana and tag myself. I will make sure to include our social media handles in the show notes. And if you haven't yet subscribed to Mindful Living with Athea Davis, make sure that you do that so you can stay up to date on all the new episodes coming your way. And I would love for you to take an extra minute or two to leave me a rate and review on iTunes. It makes all the difference in knowing that you appreciate the content coming your way. And feedback is so valuable. That's how I continue to learn and grow. And if we're not connected yet on social media, come on, let's do that. I love to spend time on social to share all the mindful living things that will make your life a little more peaceful and brighter and calmer for you, your kids, and your schools and businesses out there. So definitely let's connect on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. I'm at Athea Davis. And I hope you're doing well. I hope that you are out there tuning in to and spreading the awesome sauce here, there, and everywhere. And I will see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Mindful Living Podcast with me, your host, Athea Davis. Think of me as your extra sparkly, good vibes, and no-nonsense guide, reminding you to take intentional action and choose to be the person today you want to become tomorrow. The world needs your sparkle, your joy, your gifts in action. Speaking of, I have a free gift for all my podcast listeners. Go now and subscribe to my email list and get your free health and wellness guide, Awesome Sauce Insights, at soulcentyoga.com. And take a moment to rate and review my podcast on iTunes or wherever you may find yourself listening to Mindful Living with Athea Davis. I truly appreciate your time and feedback so I can continue to deliver valuable content to each of you. Until next time, have an awesome sauce day, friends.